This is F. Bron McCash, the Swordmaster for the Highlander television series, and you are listening to Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast on the Fandom Podcast Network.
Welcome, Highlander fans, to episode 83 of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast here on the Fandom Podcast Network. On this show, we cover all things Highlander, including the movies, TV series, guest interviews, novels, audiobooks, comics, anime, games, special events, and an in-depth look into the Highlander TV series, Methuselah's Trilogy episodes, and more. I'm Kevin, one of your Blood of Kings hosts. However, I don't do this alone. I need my fellow mortal brother, sword fighter, and fellow Highlander aficionado. With me is my co-host, Norman. Again, welcome, Norman.
Thank you, Kevin, so much. I'm glad to be here. I'm glad to be here, especially for these series of episodes that we're doing for the quote-unquote Methuselah's Trilogy. And this episode, in particular for me, is really important.
And we're going to get into that. Real excited about that. And I like to say that we've kind of coined this as a Methuselah's trilogy, for, wouldn't you say?
I would say so. So Kareem, royalty check / trademark / Blood of Kings.
So our last two episodes started this trilogy here. We talked about legacy. We did the retrospective and the commentary. Now, to tease this show topic, of course, this is timeless. We're doing a retrospective today, and then next week we're going to have the commentary. But what really adds this to the trilogy, Norman, is that it's really the scene with Mythos and Alexa, when you think about it, because, you know, whether, and we'll get into that part of the A, B, and the A plot and the B plot, but it's this story itself is the reason that, that brings Legacy and Methuselah's Gift together, correct?
I would agree. That's why it's a trilogy of episodes, because if it weren't for this episode, then you would just have Legacy and Methuselah's Gift, which is fine, but the way that Methuselah's Gift comes about is because of Timeless.
Yeah. Yeah, it's very, very important. So it's an awesome middle piece. And some people say that the middle chapter of a trilogy is sometimes the strongest and sometimes the darkest. So we'll see. Norm, why don't you start us off by letting our listeners know how they can reach us at Blood of Kings?
Well, you can always find Blood of Kings on the Fandom Podcast Network master feed. That's fpnet.podbean.com. You can also find it on the Podbean app at fpnet. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes, Stitcher, and Google Play for Android users. You can find us on Instagram at Blood of Kings Pod, and on Facebook, our wonderful and lovely and amazing Facebook page, Blood of Kings, a Highlander fandom group, and also Facebook, Blood of Kings, a Highlander collectible card game and gaming page. And we're going to talk a little bit more about the extensions of gaming now that are going to be happening in Highlander very soon. Now, if you'd like to contact us directly, you can email us at bloodofkingspodcast@gmail.com and on Twitter at bloodofkingspod. Now, Kevin, where can our fans find you on social media?
You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at Spartan_Phoenix.
And you can find me on Twitter at Starfighter1701 and on Instagram at SoCalSwordFighter. And you can find Mike, who edits all these shows, and I'm not sure. Do you think by this show, or maybe the next show, or maybe show 100, he's going to be tired of listening to what we have to say?
Oh, he's already been tired. He's just been insanely patient.
Yeah, he's been tired since episode one. So so you can find Mike on Twitter at Immortal Chamoli.
All right. Thank you so much, Norman. And also, we'd like to remind our listeners, please head on over to iTunes and search Fandom Podcast Network, and please leave us a review. If you like what you're listening to right now, we'd love the support. Of course, we would love a 5-star review. And say what you would like to say about Blood of Kings. We'd love to hear from you. Also, please help support the Fandom Podcast Network and Blood of Kings. Get your own Blood of Kings t-shirt and other apparel. Please visit the Blood of Kings store on TeePublic. Go to TeePublic, search Fandom Podcast Network, and then you'll see a lot of really cool Blood of Kings stuff up there. All right, Norm, I say we get right into the gut of this story. But, you know, As much as I'm excited about you to talk about Timeless, I think it's time that we do a little relaxation first and head on over to Joe's. What do you say?
Sounds like a great idea.
All right, let's head on over to Joe's. All right, here we are. You know what? Just like the episode Timeless, I say we kind of head over to that one little round table that Mythos, you know, met Alexa at, and we just kind of sit right there and have a little Joe's. What do you say?
I like it. And as long as I'm in visual contact with his Fender Beater Rose, the keyboard that Claudia plays on, I'm totally good there. That's a free, it's a awesome free concert, right?
So, Norman, by the time this episode comes out, I'm going to be out of country again.
Dun, 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 dun. Dun 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 dun. I can do Scotland too if you want me to.
Can you? Go for it.
I don't know. Can I? I know.
Yes, sir. I'm going to be off to London. Aaron and I are meeting in London, which is actually where we met. And we spend about five.
Everyone collectively out there. Aww.
God, now I'm all blushing.
You are.
So we're going to be meeting in London in about a week's time from this recording. And by the time this episode comes out, not only will I have been in London, but we're also going to Scotland again, but this time together.
Yay. You are blushing. You're as red as the curtain behind you.
But so we're obviously going because we're fans of Highlander, and we're going to be visiting some locations. Mm-hmm. Hopefully, a couple that I even haven't been to yet, because I've only been to Scotland once, and I made the most epic turn of it the first time around. But we're going to be visiting several locations. Of course, we're going to be visiting our friend Stevie McLeod. We'll be staying with him and his family for a couple nights, so we're excited about that.
Yay!
Visiting a couple Outlander locations as well, and hitting Isle of Skye. We're really excited. We're hoping to hit some places that we haven't hit, like, alone, but together we're going to visit some new locations, so we're excited about that.
You might want to reach out to our incredibly handsome, dashing, and sexy vocalist, Mr. Grant Kempster, while you're out there.
I actually have. I've reached out to him, and there was a meetup that we have planned in London, and he really wanted to come, but he has a job that he has to do, so he can't make it, unfortunately.
Oh, that's too bad.
But we'll probably message back and forth and just say hi to him. I'm in his neck of the woods, but yeah. So anyway, I'll have a little wrap-up about that, of course, when I get back. But, for you listeners out there that are Highlander fans and have not been to Scotland, both Norm and I have already been. I'm going again. I know one day you're probably going to go again. Mm-hmm. Make it happen. Do it. Just plan it. And Norm and I, as well as many others that have visited Scotland, can help you guys with any suggestions or, you know, maps and ideas and stuff like that. So please hit us up and let us know. All right, Norm, we are really excited because we have something in our hot little hands that we're really excited about. And I want you to start this off because you posted first on Blood of Kings and you also did a little update about it.
Oh, this is exciting stuff because for the longest time, you and I, Kevin, we've been talking about Highlander, the collectible card game, and what's the future of Highlander gaming, and are there going to be any other options in the future? Can we get the collectible card game up and running again, you know, the way that the Stevie Rice and all the people with the most current edition are doing, and bring that to the forefront? Well, there are a lot of fans out there that are fans of Highlander and fans of gaming. And finally, after a very successful Kickstarter, probably one of the best Kickstarters that I've ever been involved with, B&B Games have finally started shipping or have shipped, and you may have received, as I have and Kevin has and several other friends have, your set of Highlander the Duel, the card game by B&B Games. And let me tell you, folks, when I opened up my package, it was utterly amazing how professional the presentation was. I haven't opened anything yet because we're going to do an official unboxing and first impressions of the game when you come back. Yes, Kevin?
Yes, yeah, that's the plan. Now we'll squeeze it in there when we finish out the Methuselah's trilogy with the Methuselah's gift. But we definitely have to do this game some justice on an episode. So yes.
Yeah. So just for first impressions, when I opened it, I couldn't believe And this is way to the credit of B&B Games and your friend. Is it Chris Castagnetto?
Yes.
Yeah, so Chris, amazing production value on this game. Amazing. The neoprene playing mat is, it's of the highest quality. One of the best I've seen. The matching card sleeves, which are a must for gamers, is they're absolutely amazing. And just the packaging, the way it was presented, everything just fits so cohesively. These are the things, these are the qualities in a game that gamers really care about. Because as gamers, we love showing off our product, we love showing off our system, we love showing off our swag. And I can't wait to open this up and look at the miniatures in detail. Maybe hire out somebody to paint the miniatures for me because I don't have time anymore. I used to paint miniatures, Kevin, you know. and just get into the rules because I love the fact that it's a 15 to 20, maybe 25 minute card game based on these strategies. And I can't wait just to just get my hands into it, assemble the game, and start making photos and pictures and trying to describe it to the fans because I know a lot of fans want to play this as well.
I opened up one of the boxes here. And I'm impressed with the packaging. I love the miniatures that they have here with the Kurgan and Connor, and then, of course, the Clan MacLeod sword in the ground.
Mm-hmm.
The little markers here, the little sealed deck. And I tell you, for you Highlander CCG fans out there, I hope that they sell these card sleeves separately as well because these are pretty cool. And they say Highlander on them with the clash between Connor and the Kurgan. It also, I love the fact that the rule booklet is just like a couple of pages. And, you know, I know there's more in-depth look into the rules, I believe, online. There's a YouTube video as mm-hmm. well that B&B Games has also promoted.
Mm-hmm.
So, and you're right about that, Matt. That mat is absolutely beautiful.
Stunning. Absolutely stunning. So, if you are interested and you weren't part of the original Kickstarter promotion, please visit B&B Games. Google B&B Games, and they offer not just Highlander the Duel, the card game, but a bunch of different games. But you can get your set there. Now, I'm not sure if it's going to come with all the bells and whistles of the Kickstarter, because Kickstarter funders usually get a little bit more of a perk because they put up the upfront capital for a game to help fund the game in production. But this is one of those kind of things where, and it came across my feed in social media on Facebook, I looked at it, and I had to invest in it because everything that I saw about it looked completely solid. I'm not going to say that for every single game that comes down the pike, but for this one, this looked incredibly solid. I hope the gameplay and the mechanics are as good as I hope they're going to be. But for 50% of my overall impression of the game, just the physical attributes, one of the best I've seen produced.
Yeah, I would agree. Production value is definitely up there, and I'm excited about diving into it and learning how to play. So that'll be another future episode coming up soon. Well, thank you, Norman. Appreciate that. And speaking of Scotland and swords and stuff, we need to talk about the sword experience updates. Of course, you can head over to swordxp.com or swordxp.com/tourdates for more information. And by the time this episode comes out, the France July 18th sword experience will be right around the corner there. That's the one we're going to be doing an episode of Pharaoh's Daughter. Then Germany on July 29th. And then back to England at Rochester Castle on August 11th. Ireland, August 18th. Back to Canada, September 8th. And, of course, the big one, Belize, in November of 2018. And, of course, we love to show support for those of you that have been doing a great job promoting the sword experience. Priscilla Manriquez, she has her sword experience participant Facebook group, and also we have the SXP, the Ultimate Sword Experience fan group, run by Riley, Shan, and Selena, Lonnie Patterson, and Gail Kalen. Kalen or Kalen? Forgive me if I'm mispronouncing that.
Oh, it's factor. She has a K factor in her name.
I know. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
Make sure you check out their group as well. That's what I love about the sword experience is that there's a lot of venues to share your sword experience fandom and also to get some wonderful advice from those that have done it once or many times. So make sure you check that out. Well, Norman, I know this is kind of a quick little time here at Joe's, but I say we head on out and let's get to Timeless. What do you say?
Oh, I would love to. Lots to talk about.
All right. Let's head on out of Joe's. All right, here we are, Blood of Kings 83, the Methuselah's Trilogy, our timeless retrospective. Norm, I know this is, I believe, your favorite episode, and I'm going to have you start off here. Tell us a little bit about Timeless and where it stands.
Well, Timeless is my favorite episode, and I know a lot of people will be like, really? And I'll explain that a little bit later, but first...
Hold on. Let me mention something real quick.
Sure.
It's when you told me about this originally, I was a little caught off guard by that because, you know, it's not, you know, the Four Horsemen, you know, it's not Band of Brothers, you know, it's not these epic sword fights and these things that are just, you know, when you look at the top Highlander episodes of like maybe action and drama, this has the drama, but it doesn't have your typical Highlander-y TV show grandeur. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and
so, but I know where you're getting at now. You know, reviewing this episode and what you're going to eventually go into, I get it. So go ahead.
Sometimes it's the quieter moments that make the most impact.
Yes. <Yeah. laughs> Well, real quick, before you read on, I just want to say this is the season 4 episode 11, aired January 29th, 1996.
And I am reading the plot description excerpt from John Mosby's Fearful Symmetry, The Essential Guide to All Things Highlander. Timeless, written by Karen Harris and directed by Dwayne Clark. Duncan goes to visit his friend, the arrogant but charming pianist, Claudia Jardine, played by Ray Don Chong, but is just in time to help her avoid an attempt on her life. Claudia remains intact, but her piano is history. She's aware that Duncan paid for her lessons in Juilliard and the Paris Conservatory, and realizes that she wouldn't have had half the success without his assistance, but wishes that he'd sometimes not offer her all the life advice he does. However, she's glad he's around when her assailant tries again, this time to run her down the street, though Duncan is aware it's a decidedly older friend, Walter Graham, played by Brent Fidler, behind the wheel. Joe is a major fan of Claudia's work, but Mythos, downing beers in his establishment, is somewhat distracted, having taken a shine to Alexa, one of the waitresses in Joe's bar, though she doesn't seem interested. However, everyone's in for some home truths when life and death secrets are revealed about both Claudia and Alexa, ones that will have unforeseen consequences for them and the people who care about them. Also featuring Ocean Hellman as Alexa, Brent Fidler as Jeremy Beaufort, and David McKay as Gremio. Interesting here. I just want to make a correction here because I think in John's write-up here, he has Walter Graham as Brent Fidler, but we know that's not true. Walter Graham is actually played by the great Ron Halder.
It's true. Yep.
So just want to make a correction there. Sorry, John, kind of added you right there in the description, but just for clarity's sake. So that is Timeless, Kevin.
You know what? When I was rewatching this, one of the things that, of course, makes Highlander great is its flashbacks.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a wonderful flashback with Walter and Duncan, you know, performing theater together. And if there's one thing that I think sums up Walter Graham is this iconic quote that he had.
Mm-hmm.
And that is, "All I have ever wanted was to touch brilliance, to smell it, at the very least, to help it live. Without that, eternal life is nothing more than eternal hell."
And that is the quintessential, the modus operandi for Walter Graham this entire episode.
That's just a touch on the brilliant writing on this episode, too.
I love this episode's writing so much. Oh, my God.
Well, let's talk about a couple of the cast members here, the guests here. Let's talk about Ocean Hellman here.
Mm-hmm.
Brilliantly played Alexa.
Mm-hmm.
And she was born and raised in Victoria, Canada.
Hmm.
She's done a lot of stuff in Canada. She even did an episode. I was looking here. She did an episode of 21 Jump Street and some other like soap operas and stuff like that. And she did an episode of Northern Exposure, Millennium, Poltergeist, A Legacy. And stuff, but you know, when it comes to standouts, obviously we have to talk about her.
Yes, and especially in this episode, because the impact that she makes in the Highlander lore is very significant. I think that's why another reason why I love this episode is because some of the most subtle casting choices have made such an incredible impact in Highlander overall. And Ocean Hellman as Alexa Bond is one of those choices because of what she brought, not only to the performance, but what she brought to how she shifted mythos
right
in this episode.
Yeah, agreed. The other person we have to talk about, of course, is Ron Halder, who played Walter Graham. Mm-hmm. Now, lately, he's been really busy. As you can tell by watching this episode, he's got a great voice. Mm-hmm. So that, of course, would lend to another great, you know, acting gigs. And he's done a lot of voiceover stuff. He's done stuff for My Little Pony. He's done stuff for, Wolverine versus Sabretooth, Asterix and Obelix, Voltron Force, Iron Man Armored Adventures. It just goes on and on. And of course, he's also done guest appearances like on Stargate and a bunch of other stuff. So this guy has done a lot of acting. He's done, and I'll get a little bit more into it later in the DVD special features, but also he's done a lot of theater, as you can tell.
Well, of course.
He, you know, brings that out well in the episode.
Mm-hmm.
Our other guest here, of course, is Ray Don Chong, who plays Claudia.
Yes.
Now, of course, when you say Ray Don Chong, I think of a couple of films, mm-hmm. Probably more known for Commando.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Where he played Cindy.
Mm-hmm.
She also in Soul Man?
I believe she was. Yes, she was.
Which is a movie you cannot make nowadays.
Probably not. Yeah.
Of course, she is, the daughter of Tommy Chong?
Of Cheech and Chong fame, if people don't know
Cheech
that.
Cheech and Chong fame. Of course, she's been in Quest for Fire, where I think she got her first big break in 1981. She was also in The Color Purple. Very, very busy actress. Got to tell you, though, of all of the things that I've seen her in, I'm most impressed with this role in Highlander.
This role gave her a lot to chew on, and what I love also about Claudia in relationship to the Highlander collectible card game is she was one of three quote-unquote generic immortal cards. They actually used mm-hmm. a picture of her along with Callum Keith Rennie and Roddy Piper for these generic immortal cards, which were fantastic. So there's so much I love about Claudia's character because she's literally in many ways kind of like the polar opposite of where Alexa is coming from in this episode. So we'll get to that in a little bit.
Okay. Of course, the main cast rounds out with Adrian Paul. Stan Kirsch only got credit only. Of course, Jim Burns, Peter Wingfield. You know, when we look at this episode, I want to actually jump into the DVD special features here because there's a couple things I want to hit on here. There's two interviews in the DVD special features on the season here. I'm sorry, is it Gillian or Jillian?
Gillian.
Gillian, yes. Sorry, I keep forgetting. Gillian Horvath, here's some interviews, highlights of her interview. McLeod in drag, as she said, mm-hmm. got a lot of fun letters. And usually in, the position that McLeod was in the episode where he was in drag, is usually played by more of a younger person, maybe more of a feminine, like male. But they wanted to have a little more poetic license with this and have fun. And, you know, of course, I thought Duncan was great.
Oh, yeah.
The way he played that female character.
Yeah, and it also was the high-pitched Duncan McLeod.
Which we love to see from
Which
time
we do
time,
love
of
to
course.
See, yes.
The original script by Karen Harris, as Gillian says, was much darker and had Walter dying. The only big change was having him live, which changed the entire tone of the episode and made him very likable instead of this horrible villain. So when they decided to have him live, they realized that in order to have him live, you have to like the guy. And so this changed the whole dichotomy of the episode, if you think about it, Norman.
Yes, and I agree with the choice because Walter Graham, he isn't a villain. Misguided, yes, but not a villain. You know, and very much the same way Danny Chimoli is not a villain. In very much the same way, Misguided and Mischievous, Fitz is not a villain. So I like the fact that they didn't end him because what Walter Graham was doing, it was not necessarily noble and not necessarily honorable, but it wasn't even evil, quote unquote. You know, it wasn't an evil thing what he did. It's just that it went against Duncan's own morality. And we're going to talk about that point also, because that brings up a very interesting tie-in to Highlander Endgame.
Yes. Oh, good point. Gillian also said this episode begs the important question. What is the A plot and which is the B plot? Walter and Claudia or Mythos and Alexa? Now, what I find interesting about this, and if you look at the episode again, and also in the audio commentary, which I'll touch on with Gillian, usually the A plot has the final scene at the end. Now, when we think about this episode nowadays, Norman, it seems like more people are remembering Mythos and Alexa, even though their scenes are shorter and it's not quite as, you know, doesn't take up as much, you know, running time as the Claudia and Walter one does. It seems to be the stronger of the two right now, wouldn't you say?
Well, perhaps the candle that burns twice as bright burns half as long.
There you go. Also in the special features, Peter Wingfield was interviewed, and he said that he loved the casting of Alexa Bond, played by Ocean Hellman. Mm-hmm. And he says, quote, "They could have casted your typical L.A. bombshell actress, but they didn't, and it worked better this way." He also loved that the director, Dwayne Clark, he loved his approach to the scenes with Mythos and Alexa. He would take turns going to each of him and an Ocean and whispering direction, like, quietly so the other couldn't hear. And then he would go over to, you know, Peter and do the same thing. And he liked the fact that he did this separately and privately before he said action. And this approach really helped with the scene and the character and the actor's chemistry. So I thought that was really cool.
Yeah. You know, the scene in the, I guess it's kind of like the park with the stone benches, and it was raining and he was listening to his Walkman, and it was just so real. You know, it was so impactful. And yes, he didn't have the lion's share of the episode, but that didn't matter, because I believe that Mythos and Alexa's story was the A plot, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah. Peter was also amazed how little screen time they actually had, but how very powerful the scenes that there were in the episode. Mm-hmm. So there's also some fun outtakes of the character of Walter and Duncan sword fighting. In the audio and video commentary with Gillian, Karen Harris, she said that Karen Harris was one of Gillian's mentors in a previous TV production before Karen was brought on to do Highlander. Gillian also labeled Walter as a lovable rogue like Fitz or Amanda.
I see. Yeah.
During production, Gillian said Adrian reminded them to remember to show the fun side and the passion of being immortal. Previous episodes have been taken very serious during some of the plot lines.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things that's obviously brought to light in this episode.
I believe the episode before this was Chivalry, which was pretty heavy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The scene with Mythos and Alexa, as you mentioned, in the rain, was unplanned. The weather was unplanned, but worked amazingly. Mm-hmm. Time left to live comparison between the two plots. Claudia becoming immortal and not wanting to learn the sword, and Alexa with a terminal illness. So that's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Gillian also felt they got lucky with the casting of Ron Halder, who played Walter Graham. He had been a theater trained. He was athletically inclined for the sword fights with Adrian. And there was also two scenes during the fight where Ron was almost seriously injured.
Oh, wow.
But thanks to Duncan and his professionalism with safety and such, they were able to avoid that. So there's they did a really good job with the behind-the-scenes features on this, on the DVD. So make sure you check that out.
You know, one quick thing, though. If you watch the sword fight between Adrian and Ron, Duncan and Walter, there are subtleties in that sword fight that are really kind of speak volumes of how good this duel really is. You might think it's not like this big two-handed sword, you know, blowout fight. It's not like axes versus shields versus swords. It's like this great rapier kind of, you know, one-handed sword fight. And it's actually really quite brilliant.
Yeah. I'm going to let you talk a little bit on the trivia here. But before we move on, I just want to remind people that if you want more of a really good behind-the-scenes look at the episode, make sure you check out John Mosby's book, Fearful Symmetry, because after he talks about the seasons, he does this little season wrap-up. And on page 148, there's a really great, like, almost two-page or page and a half dedicated to this episode. So make sure you check that out.
Yeah, a couple small trivia notes here. Did you know that the wig that Duncan wore to play Kate in the flashback in The Taming of the Shrew was previously used by Deborah Campbell, Duncan's first love?
Yeah, very cool.
And I just wanted people to know that there's a soft sequel to Timeless in the anthology An Evening at Joe's. It was a piece written by Donna and Gillian called Postcards from Alexa. And there's also a YouTube video out there with Peter Wingfield as Mythos performing excerpts from Postcards from Alexa, which is, it's brilliant because it's haunting and it's a continuation almost of kind of like this episode.
Dude, I've never seen that before.
No?
I've never seen that before. I saw it for the first time today when you posted this in the notes and I watched this and it's like about eight, maybe it was like
a little over,
10 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah, 10 to 14 minutes. It's Peter Wingfield as Mythos doing this kind of monologue, talking about, you know, going on this trip and a couple of the problems they have with the van getting stuck. And oh my God, he sells this thing so well. I was enthralled with every word that he was delivering this performance. This was amazing.
And it's very reminiscent of where Adrian and Elizabeth took love letters, you know, an extension of the characters past the series. Yeah. You know, and we also heard of, you know, of their relationship of Mythos and Alexa in Reunion, you know, which is also kind of like past the series. So that's something to take a look at as well. Now, here's kind of like I said, we were talking about the subtleties of the sword fight. So when Duncan did a certain move in the sword fight, and then Walter goes, you know, where'd you learn that move? There's an interesting move that he did that he learned actually from another Walter named Walter Reinhardt in episode 10, season 1, Revenge is Sweet, where he had this really interesting saber move that Duncan pulled out in this fight that Walter Graham remarked about.
Very cool.
Yeah, it was like this weird kind of delay where he kind of points the saber at his chest, then moves it again. And it's hard to block that because it throws timing off. So I was like, yeah, that's Walter Reinhardt's move. It's kind of neat that they quickened that in the scene in a way.
That's really cool.
Yeah. So yeah, that was, those are just a couple of really interesting kind of tidbits to chew on, you know, when you watch this episode.
Okay. So we got some quotes here that we want to talk about.
Mm-hmm. This again, because of the strength of the writing, there are a lot of poignant quotes that just really kind of hit home when you think about what Highlander is all about. Another one of the reasons why this episode is my favorite. Joe says at one time when he's talking about Claudia and losing her talent because she's just newly become immortal, he says to Duncan, maybe when the candle burns for a shorter time, it burns brighter. Which is a play on, you know, the candle that burns twice as bright burns half as long.
He says that to Duncan or he says that to Mythos?
Oh, maybe it's to Mythos. Yeah, maybe it's to Mythos.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, that's a great line.
And then Mythos says to Joe, when Joe goes, you know, she's not your type, you know, quit kind of harassing Alexa. He says, hey, Joe, I didn't ask for your opinion. I know she's dying, okay? You are all dying. 20 years, 6 months. What's the difference? Kind of puts things into perspective a little bit.
Yeah, it does.
Right?
Yeah.
Another Mythos great line here is he says, you spend whatever time you have left dying or you spend it living with me. Please say you'll come with me, Alexa. So this goes into that whole, you know, there's a theme going on here where it's about what do you consider living, right? You know?
Yeah.
And this is probably one of the more interesting points because now we're like referencing future Highlander work with Highlander Endgame. And you'll see what I mean after I say the quote. So Duncan says to Walter as he's going up the lift in the dojo, immortality is not a game of tag. You can't say you're it or you're it. It's not for us to decide when her mortal life is over. Now.
I know where you're getting at with this.
Juxtaposing this with the scene when Duncan murders Kate on their wedding night to preserve her beauty, to preserve her...
In Highlander
3. In Highlander 4.
Yep, sorry, 4. Endgame. Yeah, yes, Endgame. That's right, sorry. Yep.
He murders Kate to preserve her so that they can live together as immortals. Preserves her in the peak of her beauty, the peak of her essence as the woman that Duncan married, to preserve her for all time. And that was a selfish move by Duncan. He had no right. And she told him that.
So if we retcon this, this is how he learned that, right?
Perhaps. That's how I see this scene. This is like Duncan saying, like, I learned this lesson. It did not go well for me. It will probably not go well for you. And it didn't.
Yeah.
So I like how, I'm not saying that they wrote the dialogue in Endgame to reflect this, but I find that consistent in Duncan's character because of the scene from Endgame.
Good point. Yeah. Well, I know you've got some more reactions here, and I know this is your favorite episode, so I'm going to let you keep leading on here.
So when we first started Blood of Kings, the thrust of behind of what I wanted to talk about in Blood of Kings comes from this episode in particular. This is my favorite Highlander episode of all time. It's my number one, and not a lot of episodes come close. And the reason why is because I believe this represents the best of what Highlander actually really means. And some of you out there are like, well, why? I mean, it doesn't have like the greatest sword fight in the world. It doesn't have a quickening. It doesn't have Amanda. It doesn't have Fitz. It's not a two-parter. It's not a season finale. It doesn't have any legendary sword fights. It doesn't have anything what you fans would consider the best of Highlander, like the Samurai or finale or Comes a Horseman, Revelations, those things. But in many ways, this episode is 100% a very unremarkable episode and maybe just an above average episode. So why is it my favorite? You know, I basically like undersold this episode. Like, why is it my favorite? It doesn't have any of the great things that Highlander is probably known for to the general public, because it has my favorite scene in Highlander of all time and probably one of my favorite themes in Highlander of all time. And that is, what is life without passion? That for me is the central theme of Highlander.
I understand. I mean, it hit that line alone hits home with me. What is life without passion?
Exactly. It's, you have eternal life as immortals. That's fine. But you also have a very limited life as mortals. And this is about how you're going to spend the time that you have. It's kind of like what Gandalf said to Frodo at the end of Fellowship of the Ring. You know, all that is left for us to decide is what to do with the time that is given to us, whether it is 1,000 years or whether it's 10 minutes. What are you going to do with the choices that make your life the best it can possibly be? What's going to make you the best possible person in this moment? So what is life without passion? What is life without passion for Claudia? Because she lost her passion for life, she lost her talent. That's everything to her. That defined her as a person. But now she's in this game because that was stolen from her. So she didn't have a choice. So now her passion is gone, robbed of it by Walter. Mm-hmm. So what is she now? She's just ex-generic immortal in this game, and she's no longer Claudia Jardine, you know, this brilliant prodigy concert pianist that everybody knows. She was robbed of that, and that I thought was a very powerful theme in this. For Mythos, think about this, Kev. 5,000 years old, one of the four horsemen of the apocalypse, raided and pillaged villages for millennia, and probably has fallen in love before, probably has fallen out of love, probably has lost more people in his life than anyone has a right to, and yet he falls in love again and sees it for what it is and doesn't let it go because he knows that no matter how long you live, that moment will never come again. Mm-hmm. That's the reason why I love what happened in this episode. And for Alexa, she's dying, and that's established in her character. And she, if she never met Mythos, she's going her entire life, she probably would have just gone through her treatments or maybe not have had any success with that, and she probably would have died alone and unloved and not very special. But Mythos gave her the opportunity to have the best life possible, no matter how much time she had left. And isn't that the life that's worth living?
Yeah, I was just thinking, if she found out who Mythos was and how old he is, like there was like a scene in that van or something, you know, and maybe they're looking over the, you know, the Grand Canyon or something like that, doing whatever they're doing. I wonder how that would have, if that would have changed anything at all.
Well,
or if she would have just realized, you know, if anyone understands about living life, this guy does.
But also, you know, it's a great kind of juxtaposition, and it's almost ironic in a way where someone who's 5,000 years old still can cling on to this kind of passion. Because we've seen in Highlander where, you know, immortals have lost their passion for life and are trying to get it back, like Gregor, you know, trying to risk his life to feel something. Same thing with Byron and other immortals. But there's that, one of the best scenes in this episode is something that has nothing to do with sword fighting or immortality or anything. It's basically just when Alexa first meets Adam Pearson at the bar and she says, you know, where are you from? And he just kind of like looks, he goes, she goes, you know, your accent, you know, you're not from around here. He's like, no, I've traveled a lot. And she's like, oh yeah, where, Paris? He's like, Paris is too full of Parisians. You know, even the French don't like Paris. And she's like, Venice, Venice, the smell alone would kill you. And I think that's where she's like, I'm going to die in about 8 to 12 months. And this is how you see the world?
Yeah, she called him being a cynic.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, that's amazing to me that we know who he is. He's seen probably the world 100 times over. Even before the world was the world. And she'll never reach half the places that she's ever wanted to see. And that, to me, is probably the most powerful thing I've ever seen in Highlander. So
there's also a scene, another scene that we've touched on that we'd like to elaborate on.
Well, it's my favorite scene in Highlander of all time, of all the movies, of all the episodes, of everything that's ever been done in Highlander.
Of everything?
Of everything.
Wow.
Of everything.
Wow.
Of everything. That's why this is my favorite episode.
I can see why, though.
Yeah. And it's because there's that immediate chemistry that Peter and Ocean had as characters. And I love how aw shucks and how awkward Peter is playing Mythos in this scene. I mean, think about it. Remember,
that's when he's at his best.
Exactly.
Right.
And I know that technically I didn't know this about the character until, because this is season 4 and we didn't get to know about Mythos until season 5 and what he did, you know, all the people that he's murdered. But knowing that and now overlaying that on top of him, you're like, this guy has pretty much, he's biblical, right? He's that ancient and that powerful, but he still doesn't have the courage to walk up to a girl and figure out how he's going to ask her out on her first date.
Well, this is the scene that I referred to earlier in the special features where the weather wasn't planned, mm-hmm. but it was pouring, but the director and the actors, they trooped on, they brought the umbrella in and they just made magic work.
Yeah. And again, it's one of those moments where it just happens so magically. So Kevin and I are going to do a little performance.
Blood of Kings Theater?
Blood of Kings Theater. Yes. A little Blood of Kings Theater. And let me set up the scene. I mean, for all of you who know this episode, you know the scene. Mythos is sitting in the rain. He's wearing his headphones and Alexa walks up with an umbrella.
And you're going to be Mythos, and I'm going to be Alexa.
Yes. So,
okay.
This is the scene. Hi.
Joe said I'd find you up here.
Lucky guess. Or else I've become horribly predictable. Pull up a slab. This is nice, isn't it?
I'm a little concerned about something.
Yeah, I sense that.
This date we're supposed to go on, I don't think it's a very good idea.
I thought you liked me. A little.
It's not that.
It's my nose, isn't it? It's my nose. I knew it.
No, no, it's not your nose. You have a very nice nose.
Well, it's because you think I'm English. It's my accent. I don't have to be English. I can be Russian. Pozed nas kaskariv eskodet etsing platform. It means, is this the right platform for the train to Kharkov?
You're outrageous.
Russian doesn't turn you on. Okay, I can do it in Swahili. Except if I was speaking Swahili, why would I be waiting for a train to Kharkov? Lithuanian? No? Farsi?
Please, don't make me laugh.
Why not?
because it's not fair.
It rarely is.
I'm sorry.
For what? You can tell me.
I'm dying. You see, don't you? We can't go out anymore.
Absolutely. We'd better make it tonight.
End scene.
That's hard to do just reading it. Wow.
By the way, nice Russian there, bro.
Well, I've done that scene in my head many, many times because it's my favorite scene in Highlander. I think that everyone can feel kind of like the power in that scene, because Mythos is like, it doesn't matter the context of who I am and who you are. It matters what's happening in the right here and now. And that is the reason why I think that this episode is is one of the best episodes. It's certainly my favorite episode. And it kind of dovetails into why I love Studies in Light so much, because, again, Highlander for me isn't about the sword fights or the quickenings or the violence or all that. You know, it's about these character moments that really study the human condition and the immortal condition at the same time. And the irony between what's happening here is just so powerful. And I can't get enough of it. It's so amazing to me.
It's interesting when I, you know, I've told the story many times of how I was introduced to the Highlander TV series when they first came out on DVD. And I remember I was traveling a lot for my job at the time, and I took the DVDs with me in a little portable DVD player, and I was watching them whenever I could. And, I got to be honest, you know, when I first saw this episode, I kind of brushed it off. I thought it was kind of cute and charming, but, you know, the scenes with Mythos and Alexa didn't stand out to me. It was more of the Claudia Jardine plot line with Walter. But scenes like this really started to jump out at me when I would rewatch the original Highlander again. And when you get past the spectacular fight scenes and the special effects and the quickening and the Kurgan and all that kind of stuff that kind of, you know, stands above the original Highlander of the standouts, the scene when you really find out more about Connor's character, when he stays with Heather all her life until she dies. And that right there reminds me about what this episode of the Highlander TV series has tried to convey. Mm-hmm. And when I understood that in the film, then I would go back and rewatch these episodes and these certain scenes of what the writers of the Highlander TV series were trying to expand, but also remind the watchers or, you know, the fans of what it is to be immortal. And this is one of the aspects that they explored brilliantly in this episode. And I wanted to mention a couple of my favorite quotes from this episode. One between Alexa and Mythos, when Mythos is, you know, trying to ask her out, you know, for the first time in the bar. And she goes, "Why do you want to go out with me?" And then Mythos says, "Because the alternative is unthinkable." First of all, great pickup line. But coming from a man like Mythos, mm-hmm. that carries a lot of weight. So I thought that was a brilliant line. And then I think that another way to sum up Walter Graham and his passion for what the reasoning behind why he's trying to kill Claudia to trigger her mortality is this great line towards the end of the episode. He says, "For centuries, I've stood next to the most brilliant artist, Chopin, dead at 39, Mozart, even younger, Jim Morrison, Janis Joplin, self-destructing before they even tasted their potential. Claudia Jardine will be eternal." Mm-hmm. And I love the fact that he says that right in front of her and Duncan. Mm-hmm.
And I love that about this. I'm going to call it the B plot, because Mythos and Alexa is the A plot. And that's one thing that we haven't really explored as much in this episode, or at least in this retrospective, is that Walter has a very specific reason for why he wants to do this. And it, Kevin, you chose this quote perfectly. This is reason why Walter Graham is there, because, you know, he's been with the greatest. He's been with Shakespeare. You know, he's been with all of these great talents, and he didn't have the opportunity to preserve them because they didn't have the seed of immortality. Now, all along, you know, all of a sudden, here comes Claudia Jardine, someone who Duncan has fostered, has patroned, has sent to the best schools and has groomed. And Duncan knows this. He knows that she is immortal or has the potential to be. But he knows that what he learned from Kate, he knows that this being able to say you're immortal or you're immortal or you're immortal doesn't work. It doesn't end up the way that you think it's going to end up. So yeah. That's why I loved about, like, Walter's not evil. Walter actually has a really good intention here. You know, he's like, why not preserve the greatest talent of our time? But look what happened. You know, he didn't understand the bigger picture. And I just thought the irony in that was just so palpable. I'm like, wow, you ruined the creation that you were trying to make because of selfishness.
There's another scene, too, that I just thought of that I thought was kind of key to this whole pre-immortal thing, where Claudia is like, is this the reason why you showed interest in me and, you know, sponsored me and stuff like that? And he says, well, I did that because you were talented, you know, but she was questioning Duncan's true motives after she finds out about what she is and the secret of, you know, immortal. So I thought that was an interesting scene as well.
Excellent point. Because if it weren't for that, would he have just found somebody else, another human prodigy, mortal prodigy to sponsor?
Yeah. Now, I want to go back on something that you just said. Mm-hmm. You said that the Mythos and Alexa is the A-plot. Mm-hmm. Now, when you look back on when this show was written and done and produced, I think it's safe to say that the Walter and Claudia was meant to be the A-plot, and that the one with Mythos and Alexa was probably meant to be the B-plot. And of course, this was brought up in the special features I mentioned earlier with Gillian. But it seems, though, that the legacy of this episode...
Crafty.
the tables have been turned, in that I think to fans, the A-plot in this is actually what's going on with Mythos and Alexa, wouldn't you say?
Oh, I agree. And it's not to take any credit away from what Ron Halder and what Radon Chong did. I just think that when you leave a powerful message, such as when Mythos says, there's never enough time, you know?
You know, I think this is a great example, and we've seen some probably not good examples of where we have the A plot, and then there's like this B plot of maybe Richie doing something weird or whatever. This is a perfect example of when you have both these A and B plots, depending on what you think is A or B, complementing each other so well. Mm-hmm.
And I guess it's kind of like summed up with Joseph's, like one trying to find a way to, you know, I guess not to die. Claudia's not looking for a way to die, but it's like one who's not afraid to die and one who's, you know, wasn't afraid to, you know, to live, you know, and it doesn't make any sense to me. Joe's seeing these two polar opposites and how they're going about choosing to move forward with their lives. Claudia doesn't want to carry a sword. Claudia doesn't want to hide on holy ground. She wants her mortality to still be able to fuel her music, her passion. And to Joe, he's like, as a watcher, he's like, that's insanity. You're going to get killed. You know, he goes, you don't have any skill. You don't have any training. You're not going to protect yourself. And Duncan's like, well, it makes sense to her.
Well, if she were to take up sword play, she'd have a great place to hide it. She could hide it right underneath one of those little portable, you know, Casio keyboards.
Or wouldn't that be cool?
Case.
Like El Mariachi, right? You know, like have a weapon keyboard. That'd be so cool. Oh,
Norman, as we wrap this up, let's talk about our final thoughts about Timeless. Mm-hmm. Obviously, your favorite episode of this trilogy.
Yeah.
Mine's coming up next, mm-hmm. but I love the fact that both our favorite episodes are in this, as we call the Methuselah's trilogy. Give me your final thoughts, man.
Well, why do you think that is? I mean, think about like all of the episodes that we can choose from. Again, we've listed them before. Like, you have the Samurai, you have the Horsemen, you know, you have the Unholy Alliances, you have all of these great epic, signature, classic, fan-voted favorites. I'm not saying that these aren't, but why do you think that these are for us?
I think for you and me, it's... I'll get into more of the Methuselah's one when we get to that next, but it's neat because when you look at the as what we're calling the trilogy, part one and part three are brought together by the stones. Part two and part three are brought together by the relationship that Mythos has. Mm-hmm. And so it's nice how they kind of fit together in that way, even though part one, Legacy, and Timeless aren't related, but then, you know, they are brought together altogether. So I love how Highlander, the TV series, is able to keep this continuity going. And, you know, when they took a chance to bring in magic, as we talked about in Legacy, they didn't just let it die. Mm-hmm. You know, they kind of wrapped it up a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, and I love the fact that they did that. Like it or not, some of the best episodes are wrapped around it.
Yeah, and I think that's why I love this episode so much. So I'm going to go to my final thoughts. Why I love Timeless, because, well, I just did an entire like 20, 25-minute segment on it just earlier. But the reason why I love it is because it doesn't necessarily have to fit in with these two, like you said, Kevin, with Legacy and with Methuselah's Gift, but it does. And what it does, I believe, is what Highlander does best. And that allows people to watch this episode and pause and think about this juxtaposition between mortality and immortality. And what do you think is greater? Do you think it's greater to have this passionate and, you know, exuberant and joyful mortal life that's going to end at any time, or this immortal life that can span millennia, but you may not have the zest for life as you once did as a mortal? Or is there a happy middle ground in between? So I always love it when Highlander forces the audience, the viewing public, into those modes of thinking, because that's where I think Highlander always tells its best stories.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. I just get excited because I know what we're going to be talking about next, and we get to see Mythos in Methuselah's Gift reach a certain point in his life and his decision making that, you know, threatens his friendships. And that's one of the things I love about that episode, and of course I'll talk about that more next time. But you know, we have the commentary for Timeless coming up next, and I'm excited to talk to you about that. You know, I think you said it best, so I'm not going to go on too much longer here, and I just say, you know, well done, great episode. And I love the fact that our best episodes are related, so I think that's great. Okay, well, I got to ask you then, Norm. We like to do the Kevin's Immortal Quickening Scale, one being Katana and his cronies, Korda and Reno, 10 being Mythos. Where does Timeless stand on this scale?
Well, it's going to be 11 for me. This one...
All four horsemen,
yeah.
Baby!
This one goes to 11. Yeah, this episode for me is the reason why I watch Highlander. It's everything that I want about it. And again, some people are listening, they're probably like, I don't get that. I understand that. I know that we watch Highlander for different reasons, and that's fine. That's what I love about fandom. But for me, that scene and that quote, because the alternative would be unthinkable, it goes back to what I believe the major theme is what Mythos is saying is, what is life without passion? If I pass this up, then I pass up an opportunity to be happy again. And what's the point in living without that?
Great point, man. Love it. Well, it's been awesome discussing episode 83, Methuselah's Trilogy, Timeless, our retrospective. Next episode, we're going to be doing the commentary, so stay tuned for that. Of course, recently on Blood of Kings, we started off the trilogy with 81 and 82 of the Methuselah's Trilogy with Legacy, the retrospective and commentary. And prior to that, we had a lot of fun. We did Blood of Kings 80, the fan voted the worst Highlander TV episodes of all time.
Least popular.
Sorry, least popular. I'm sorry, but Clay Boris voted for his own episode, and I still laugh at that. I love Clay for that.
Yeah. What a sport.
Stay tuned at the end here for our new FPNet promo at the end of the show. Make sure you check that out. Of course, we've got other shows we want you to check out on the Fandom Podcast Network, Culture Clash, Discoville, Couch Potato Theater, Time Warp, Good Evening, The End Zone, and the Hair Metal Podcast.
And, of course, Type 40.
Mm-hmm.
Type 40, right. A Doctor Who podcast.
That's right, our brand new one. We're really excited about that. All right, Norman, thank you so much. Thank the listeners, of course, for your support on Blood of Kings and for listening to us. We really appreciate that. I'm Kevin. On behalf of my co-host, Norman, thanks, everyone, for listening. And join us again next time here on the Fandom Podcast Network for another episode of Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast. Norm, that sensation you're feeling is the quickening. We are one. We are brothers. Goodbye, everyone.
Hey, Kevin, I hear you're one of the Fandom Podcast Network's co-founders.
I heard the same rumor about you too, Kyle. Like the Three Musketeers, we would be incomplete without our third member and co-founder, Norman.
Thank you, gentlemen. It's an honor to be part of the Fandom Podcast Network with you two. Kyle, why don't you start us off and let everyone know what great shows we have on the network.
Absolutely. Starting with our flagship show on the network, we have Culture Clash, your weekly fandom news show covering everything, news, reviews, and whatever crazy things we can come up with. Of course, we also have Good Evening, an Alfred Hitchcock podcast with Tom Caldwell, Brandon Shematula, and Chris High. Kevin, what else do we have on the network?
Kyle, we also have Time Warp, a look back on our classic and nostalgic fandoms that we still celebrate today. Also, if you're a hard rock music fan, I host the Hair Metal Podcast as we rediscover the nostalgia of the 1980s hair metal bands. Norman, we're not done yet. What else have we got on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Well, Kevin, you and I co-host Blood of Kings, a Highlander podcast covering all things Highlander. And I also co-host with you, Kevin, and Kyle, and other special guests, Discoville, a Star Trek Discovery, and the Orville podcast. But Kyle, last, and certainly not least, what are the other shows on the network?
Well, for all you movie fans out there, this podcast is for you. We have Couch Potato Theater, covering cult classic and fan favorite movies we don't get off the couch for. And for you football fans, we have this show for you, The End Zone, giving you all the great mediocre fantasy football advice you can get and covering everything the NFL. And finally, you Doctor Who fans out there, we have Type 40, a Doctor Who fandom podcast. Now, Kevin, can you tell everyone how to find all these great programs on the Fandom Podcast Network?
Sure, Kyle. You can find the Fandom Podcast Network master feed at the fpnet.podbean.com. The Fandom Podcast Network is on iTunes, Stitcher, Podbean, and Google Play. You can also find us on Facebook under Fandom Podcast Network. If you'd like to email us, you can email us at fandompodcastnetwork@gmail.com. We are also on Instagram under Fandom Podcast Network and on Twitter at FanPodNetwork.
Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on tpublic.com for our store, where you can find all our shows and their logos and great t-shirts and other fun items. Also, please search Fandom Podcast Network on iTunes and leave us a review.
Thank you so much for listening and supporting the Fandom Podcast Network. And remember, respect others and most importantly, enjoy your fandoms.